Mr. Chair, we are recording and you can start.
Okay, welcome everybody. I'm glad so many could make it today. I think Lynn's the only one that didn't. John Burr, and this is the Emery Park Historic Zone Advisory Board special meeting. We have one quick case, and I guess we do roll call. Steve?
Here.
Great. Martha?
Here.
Jan?
Here.
Maurice?
Here.
Stan,
Here.
Matt,
Here.
and I'm here. Again, Lynn is excused. Okay. I assume no comments, but Michael, anything come in
No,
for
Mr.
call?
Chair, I didn't receive anything.
Okay. Then we'll move on directly to item three, storm shade improvements at Armory Park, 220 South Fifth Avenue, parcel 117-17-0600. Michael, do you have any staff report or anything?
Yes, Mr. Chair, as you can tell, although we forgot to put it on the agenda, this is an informational and a feedback presentation. We shall to some water we present to you, and we are much interested in getting the feedback that you may have on this project, because it has much to do with some landscaping and stormwater. I think Mr. Greedy has been privy to this project. So I'm going to hand it over to my colleague, Johnny, to give you a brief staff presentation on that and present the presenters today from Tucson Water.
Okay, very briefly, Matt, you have a question?
Before we get started, I just want to put on record that I used to work for Arc Studios and have been involved with Armory Park, but have not been involved with this project or iteration.
Great, thanks for the disclosure. I think
That
you're
is
okay.
well noted.
Great. Jonathan.
Howdy, y'all. I'm Jonathan Nightwiser from the City of Tucson Historic Preservation Office. I'm just going to actually hand it over to my colleagues at Storm to Shade, who can really, give you a lot more in-depth information. But so I'm just kind of here to kind of facilitate. So we have Blue Baldwin and Melinda Pittman from Storm to Shade, and they can give you more, more concrete and specific details about this project.
Great.
Thank you, Johnny. Shall I take it away?
Take it away.
All right. Thank you. And with many thanks in advance to the committee for assembling this meeting today and for hearing about this project, and to City of Tucson staff for bringing this together. We are very grateful for your willingness to participate in the conversation, as well as for all the work that you do preserving historic sites for the city. I am Blue Baldwin. I manage the Storm to Shade program in the City of Tucson. We are based in Tucson Water, but we work across publicly owned landscapes in the City of Tucson. So that typically means city-owned parks, public rights of way, Tucson Water well sites. More and more with the Department of Housing and Community Development on publicly owned housing, things of that nature. We are part of the City of Tucson's climate action team, which means that we are one of the tools that the city has assembled to mitigate urban heat. So our primary driver is the mitigation of urban heat as temperatures continue to rise. And we want to do that while also conserving potable and reclaimed water resources. So the type of work that we do involves creating landscapes that are designed to capture stormwater flows from impervious surfaces. So like the water that would be flowing down the inside of the curb on a street, or the water that would be flowing off of a rooftop or a parking lot, and direct those stormwater flows into vegetated basins. We work very closely with the other departments within the city to dovetail with existing improvement projects to add further value to those projects. This particular project was brought to our attention by our friends at Department of Parks and Recreation, as they did not have plans to do any improvements on the east side of the Armory Park Neighborhood Center. We took one look at it and we realized that that landscape is already designed to harvest stormwater runoff from the rooftop of the building and surrounding areas. And so the project that we're presently proposing isn't really a very significant change to what is already there, but is giving some love to a landscape that has been long neglected. And that's another piece of the Storm to Shade program. We not only build new green stormwater infrastructure projects, but we provide long-term ongoing maintenance to everything that we build. We do that using specialized contractors that are experts in the maintenance of green stormwater infrastructure. So we are not relying on internal city crews to do that work. So I am at this point going to pass it to my colleague, Melinda Pittman, who is the project manager for this particular project. But I'd like to pause to ask if anybody has any questions before Melinda dives more deeply into the specifics of this project.
Yes. Quick question. The last plans we approved, and I thought what was going on there. I know that the one saguaro and the four acacias were always saved, and there were some oleanders that were removed to the north of an area, but the whole map showed that this particular area was going to be parking. When did that change? And I'm kind of glad it was supposed to be for staff, but there it is a revision to the last programmatic scheme that we saw, and I'm surprised that it got sliced off. So, for instance, are the acacias and the saguaro on a current drip system, and will they be getting a new drip system?
Go ahead.
Okay, I can take over. So Parks didn't end up having money for the parking lot, and so that's kind of how we got brought in. I can go ahead and share screen.
Okay,
Oh, I
just
it
hold on.
won't let me. Okay.
Hold on, I will let me make you the co-host.
Okay.
Great, simple answer. Thank you.
Yeah. But the saguaro that is in that area is being preserved in place. And the
Okay.
existing trees are being preserved. Thank you, Michael. Oh, it still
I think a
says a
damaged one was removed.
the di there was one that was damaged that was removed, and the oleander, those were, yes, those were removed as part of the other project.
Melinda, you can share your screen now.
Okay, thank you. Okay, let me know if you guys can see my screen. Nope, you can't.
Not yet.
Yeah, we
Okay.
can.
Yeah, now we can.
Oh, now you can. Okay, great. So if you'll take a look here on the cover page of our construction documents, this shows our portion of the project, and then the parks portion of the project. Both of the designs were done by Arc Studios, so the same designer. But they entered into a separate project with us. So I can walk you guys through some of this. This was the damaged saguaro that had been removed. And there's a few understory plants that are being proposed for removal. Question for you all. Have you seen these plans before? Were they distributed to you in advance or no?
Yes, we got them
Okay.
yesterday.
Okay, great. So moving forward from that, I'm going to go to the landscape page because that's where most of the information that we can share is located. So we did have a meeting with HLS and we discussed how the Ocotillo over here wouldn't typically have been something that would have been in the landscape. It would have been more likely that there were rows of trees. So we've discussed replacing the Ocotillo with ironwoods instead, which are also planted around the edge to continue that line of landscape trees. Really, the water in these areas near the building, there's already water being harvested there. So we're just preserving the existing trees and then supplementing with lower growing vegetation to keep the sight lines clear. There has been some flooding near the entrance of the center, so we are proposing to have a basin in this area that is the right of way, to have a location for some of that water to go so that it's not going to the entrance of the building. But we do have our plant list over here. We focus a lot on Sonoran Desert natives. We are transplanting. There's a cactus that we're transplanting as part of this effort. We are removing two of the desert spoons, but we're replacing. They've just really been trimmed up and just aren't in the best state at the moment. But if you guys have any further questions at all, that's mainly what we're doing here is using the existing swale, providing additional water storage, and then planting trees and understory.
Steve, I guess, participated in a minor review on Monday, and he gave a brief update last Tuesday at a regular meeting. Steve, did you have any further comments? You mentioned the, I don't know if it's two or three, but ironwoods to replace to keep the tree line going along the sidewalk. Anything of note?
Correct. That was discussed. The idea was that the ocotillo having thorns or spines would be a deterrent for people utilizing that space inappropriately. The ironwood trees that are on the proposed for the very east of the project along the road do have thorns. And maybe an appropriate continuation to help create a canopy row or extend visually the canopy row. It was not discussed if it would be two or three. It looks like there might be space for three, but I wouldn't just say trees as so that I don't think there was time to update these plans for that. But I think that that was part of the intention, and to not create something that visually would be a break in the flow of the streetscape.
And a quick question for Melinda. I can't recall. Is there a sidewalk going on the direct east side that's going out or not? Is there just the single sidewalk?
All of the existing sidewalks are remaining. There is, so the sidewalks here going east to west and the north to south are all being preserved in place. There will be a little bit of saw cutting and brick replacement for irrigation, but everything will be returned to the previous state.
Except the one new culvert going from the north basin to the lower basin.
Yes, we'll replace the sidewalk there, but yes, there will be a culvert.
I don't have any questions. Okay, board members.
Mr. Chair, I think John's half had been up for a while.
Ah, great. Sorry, I had the line saying it's being recorded. Jan, go ahead.
Yeah, and my question might have been answered by what you asked, John, but I just wanted to clarify that there is also stormwater being captured in the bed that's being revitalized, the one that's in the street right of way. Is that correct? And then it connects to the existing one.
Yeah, so
So the eastern bed.
there is stormwater being captured in here. Yes.
Okay, thank you. And it's being connected to the other one. So is
Yeah,
that
the stormwater would from the street would come in through here. And we're not anticipating the flows to be anything that would negatively impact the system here.
okay.
The
So
majority of the water comes
okay.
from here and then would come over into this basin because
Okay.
there's too much water near the building, so we're trying to
Right.
move it away.
Got it. Thank you.
Dan?
A majority of the water that you're capturing is coming off of the roof, is that correct?
That's correct.
Well, that's a large roof in terms of square footage, and it's all sloping to the east. What happens when you have a large storm and you've got more water than the depressed areas can handle? What happens to the excess water?
So the system is being designed with an overflow pipe. So there's an overflow pipe that is in this area of the basin that goes off, and we believe it connects to the storm drain system that is further down the road. There's also another overflow pipe that is on the southern portion of the building, and that those are existing conditions currently. So we're designing with those overflows. Some of the flooding that was happening near the entrance here, there's a scupper that goes underneath that's really clogged. So we're planning to unclog that, but to make sure that by providing additional area and ensuring that those overflows are unclogged and functioning, that we're improving the drainage in this area.
Thank you.
Matt.
Is all the water from the roof runoff or roof collection, or is there any captured from the street?
So there is a small watershed up here on 12th that we're capturing. And so that can be shown here with a curb cut. And then there is a scupper.
Okay. Do you have any type of silt collection or anything off the one from the street?
Do we have any? Sorry, what did you say?
Like silt collection or debris collection?
Yes, we have a sediment trap that is part of the design. Yeah, so that's shown right here.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Martha.
Is there any storage containers, or is this just, I guess my concern is the El Nino, and they say it will be wetter. Will we be losing water if we don't have someplace to store it, is my question. Is
We
there any
don't.
storage there?
Besides the basins themselves, we don't have any like storage structures or tanks being
Okay.
installed or proposed. The additional water would just go where into the overflow pipe, so it would move away from the building. But yes, in a large storm event, there is the potential that there is water that's moving away that we aren't able to utilize for the landscape.
All right, thank you.
Yes.
That being said, if I can just jump in briefly, active storage is not something that is in our program's charter to do. Though we understand the benefits of active stormwater harvesting, it is not within our purview. But that's a great question.
Steve.
So I've had a little bit more time to look at the plan. We had talked about the Ironwood on the north side. I see that in the basin between the sidewalk and then the sidewalk that leads to the building, at that north side, there may be potential to put another Ironwood there that would help strengthen the visual connectivity. I know that that would be a change to your plan. I think it was maybe a desert willow you were proposing there, but I would lean from a design standpoint for continuity and that idea of rows of trees that strengthening the row might be improved by not changing species at that point.
Which location do you mean specifically,
So
Steve?
if you look at the north side, yes, if you just take the if you come down a little bit from your hand, I think there's a tree there. If you go up slightly, I don't.
Oh, yeah, the existing pistache that's there.
Oh, I think is that the existing pistache? Oh, that's the existing pistache. Yeah, then please leave it.
Yeah,
Okay.
there's an existing pistache that is there.
That we discussed that, and that would help create that line. Plus, there's a pistache. Yeah, anyway, so thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Quick question. Plans don't appear to show any emitters. We had a year, I think it was 2021 or 22, where we got 9 inches of rain in August, but it didn't rain for the rest of the year. How do you plan on keeping these plants growing when there is absolutely no rainfall for months, especially since they're new? I mean, I planted all sorts of stuff and I have to water them at least every 4 days. 6 months later.
Yes, we do have an irrigation plan as part of our plan set. So the plants will have irrigation.
And the existing trees.
And the existing trees will, yeah, on the system.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yes.
And if I can just jump in again, because that's an interesting topic that you bring up, John. I can share that when the Storm to Shade program was envisioned back in about 2018. The initial idea was that we would be installing landscapes that would be able to survive on stormwater runoff solely without irrigation systems. And so, in our early days of launching in 2021, 2022, the first couple of projects we built didn't actually have irrigation systems. And then the rainfall pattern shifted, as you pointed out, and we realized that we needed to adjust our goal away from creating landscapes that could survive on stormwater alone to creating landscapes that would survive. And so we take irrigation very seriously as a water conservation driven program. We are really drilling down into best practices and techniques and methods, very data based around the use of irrigation, just to add a little context there.
And since you will be handling this particular area through your department, will you have access to the equipment to turn off or on depending upon weather reports?
Yes, indeed, we do. So again, because we partner with other departments in where our projects are situated, so in this case, parks, we have very close relationships with parks irrigation people, and we have MOUs that very clearly delineate responsibility and roles, and we manage our own irrigation systems independently. So yes.
Thanks. Martha, you had your hand raised.
It was kind of answered. I don't find that the parks people actually seem to want to take care of the plants that are already available and how much influence you have over them. As I
We're working on
watch.
it, Martha. We're working
Thanks.
on
Appreciate that.
it. Yeah.
Okay. Other board members? All right, final question. Do you think it will be two or three, or shall we leave it to your discretion for the ironwoods along the streetscape in that segment north of the enclosure?
I think that I would like to ask our designer their thoughts. But we can definitely at least two. But we'll talk to our designer.
Okay. Because there is kind of a line of trees there that flows into the park, so that some consistency to the streetscape would be great. Maurice, you've got your hand up. And you're muted.
Yes, my hand was up. Okay, first of all, I want to congratulate Tucson Water for its sound design. I think you guys are doing a great job. Okay, and I like what you're doing. Okay, and I just wanted to comment that I am the commissioner for Ward 6 for Parks and Recreation. And if you need any kind of liaison with Parks and Recs, please contact me. Okay, and I will help you. Okay. We are partners on this project, and I really like what you're doing. I think it's 100% good. Okay. I think you're visionary, and I like that. That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you, Maurice.
Thank you.
I had a quick call in with Helen Erickson this morning, and I guess this is the first of no one knows what it's going to be called, but a minor review system for landscapes for now that they're reviewing most of the parks. And I just want to thank you on the record for initiating a more close relationship with quick review and turnarounds so that we can all get this right for everybody concerned. So thank you for coming to us.
Yes, thank you for having us and for all your input. We really appreciate it.
Great, Jan.
Quick, I'm not sure this can be answered here, but it circles back to your first question, John, about the disappearance of the parking along Fifth Avenue. I just wondered if there was anyone here from either Arc Studios or Park who could just say whether or not that parking is showing up in the park somewhere again.
I don't believe so. I don't. It was it when it was last presented at a meeting I attended, it was a separately financed program, and they said that they could fit six or seven spaces there for staff parking. But if the funding is gone for that sort of roadway improvement and we can just get some nice plants and depressions and irrigation over here, I think it's a better streetscape potential.
Totally agree. It was just whether it was going to be slipped in somewhere else in the park and then we'd find out about it after the fact. That was the question.
There is a roadway that goes just directly to the west of the building that's large enough for access, but the whole plan from day one was to remove all parking from the site. So,
Right. And I remember being reassured at some point that they were not going to park back there again, but that's why I asked since
they're probably going to park on South Third.
that's fine.
Okay, great. Are you all set? Did you get the information you wanted?
Yes.
So I'd like to make a motion if that's
No.
it's a
Mr. Chair, this is a courtesy review. There
oh,
is no
yes.
motion required here.
Thank you.
Sorry.
I think we're in general consensus overall. This is a nice, sensitive plan. It will kind of freshen up that side, and I'm glad that something's come out of it.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. We feel the same way. So thank you all so much for your input and your time.
No problem.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
I'd like to make a motion that we end
Martha,
this meeting.
there you
No,
can't yet.
no.
There's a couple
There's
more
still
items
some
on the
items
agenda.
on
Oh, are
the
there? Damn. Oh,
There's
sorry.
still items on the agenda, Martha. You're rushing.
Oh, all right, guys.
We'll still make it quick. There isn't a lot to cover. Call the board. Any comments from anybody? Item five, staff updates and future agenda items. I doubt much has happened since Tuesday, correct, Michael?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, members of the board, what you had on Tuesday is still just what is current. The only thing that I will bring up is I had requested the chair and the vice chair to go take a look at a minor review project at 245 South 4th Avenue for a new gate, which has also an active zoning violation. Both of them have taken a look at that. And if you want to share your findings with the board, Mr. Chair, Vice Chair, that would be helpful to the board at this point. Other than that, there's no other thing that I want to bring to your attention.
Okay. Very briefly, it's Bill and Kenneth's place at 4th Avenue and 13th Street, and they had originally planned to put in a yard access gate, which was denied in 2014 because it's too close to a stop sign due to current code, under DTM right-of-way plans. But the new owner put one in anyway, which became the zoning violation. But the problem with the lot is, it's flush with railroad, but it's 5 feet above grade with a retaining wall on all other sides to the property, and there's nowhere else to do it. And so we approved the gate, which is very simple metal, has an access gate, but not a driveway gate. So hopefully that makes some sense.
John, can I ask a question about that property?
Sure.
Did you guys look at and discuss the treehouse in the side yard there on the street, or is that even an issue for us? It's basically a deck platform, hangout space, probably, I don't know, 8, 10 feet up in the air, maybe
I
more.
haven't looked specifically, and because there isn't a zoning violation on that, I was unaware of it. I don't walk that block very often anymore. I don't know a lot of people there.
Okay.
But I assume a number of people put up tree houses that are considered temporary installations, so I don't know what to say. I'll leave it to
Oh,
my
well, this is definitely not temporary. This is a well-built construction project.
then Michael next time he's in Armory Park, may want to take a look. Is it a quick
It's
question?
right along 12th.
Okay. Because
Yeah.
it's not on our agenda, I don't think we can discuss
Okay.
the merits of the case, but
Yeah.
Michael can be aware of
Yeah.
it.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, my I don't talk about 245 South 4th, and anything outside that scope is not subject for discussion.
No, this is at the same property that you looked at the gate on, which I'm glad you looked at that. And I wasn't the one that reported it.
Okay, we can take a look at that.
I mean,
If I need to ask Mr. Chair and the Vice Chair to go back and take a look at this and let us know, we can always do that.
until it's a formal zoning violation, we don't know about it technically. And then Michael brings it to us, is generally the process the city has. And most that sort of violation is usually based upon reports rather than suit.
So what I would suggest to the board is, Mr. Chair, I didn't mean to cut you off.
It's fine. I said what I was going to say.
What I would suggest to the board is, when you see something, please report to code enforcement. Telling me is good, but when you report to code enforcement, they will open up a case, and we have all the authority to follow it up. That's all I wanted to say. And you don't have to give your name when you report.
Dan, you've got your hand raised.
Yes, Jan, talking about the tree house or the raised platform, I'm
We can't,
assuming you
Dan, we
have to
can't
be in
discuss
the
it.
yard to see it.
No, but we can't
No.
discuss it. But no,
Oh,
it's
well.
visible from the street.
Yeah,
Okay.
a minor review that was scheduled, we can discuss because it's already taken place, but not anything else that's not on the agenda. Or we could get in trouble. So
All right.
thank you, Mr. Chair.
I take it back.
we'll leave that one alone until somebody tells us we need to take a look at it formally. Okay.
Just for future reference, if you're out doing a minor review and see something else, can you address it? I know we have in the past, at least talk to the owner about it.
Yes, you can.
I still get requests, especially through the neighborhood association, from people about advice of how to apply for a permit or what the general outlines are. I talked to a guy today about fences and what the general rules were for front and side fences and materials and that sort of thing. And we try to do that, but they still have to go through the permitting system, which kicks it to Michael, which assigns a number, and then back to the permitting system before we're even notified of a case for a minor review. And I don't expect that actually to change. I will say that generally, there are enough people in the neighborhood who are upset about certain things enough that there are plenty of reports for Michael to file formally, on cases where things go out. I do not generally report and actually never have because I don't consider myself a policing agent for the city. Although, if there is something, I know who to call to have them do it. It's like all the roofs that went up without permits. As long as the character of the structure and the roof was replaced in kind, I didn't make formal requests to turn people in on that. But there's all sorts of weird little stuff going on, and there's no way anybody can drive around and see every block and every new fence and every new roof and so on and so forth. So if there's something that truly does change the character of a property or hides it, go ahead and call Michael and see what the next steps are. Would be my important.
And you can always send an email to our office, and once it gets to us, we can, as staff, inform our colleagues at code enforcement. Okay, we have received a complaint about this. Can you go take a look at this? Can you go do this? Before, we had Rick Sadate, who was helping us with this kind of cases. He's on retirement now. At this point in time, now that our office is also pointed down in numbers. We're a little bit up there at one point, but now you are aware that it's down to myself, Desiree, and Johnny. So for the design review, it's basically myself and Desiree who are now on. So, but if you see something you don't want to report it, you can send us an email. We will take on that to send the information to code enforcement so they can send somebody out there to look at it and open the violation, and then we can officially start working on that.
Michael, I do have one quick question. Now that code enforcement has moved to PDSD, are code enforcement officers being trained and advised that they must reach out to the Historic Preservation Office on cases where historic is involved?
I would hesitate to say yes.
Okay, that's what
We're
I
in the
thought.
same office, but when they get violations, when it's in the historic preservation office, they will reach out to us to find out whether they usually tell the people to go through the historic review process. But I don't think they're out there telling people to actually do this, do that. Just remember, John, and members of the board, we do not have any code enforcement or any inspector out there who is specifically trained or knows what historic preservation is.
Yes.
These people are out there to look for building code violations and enforcing building code. There is no inspector that I know in the city who is out there to enforce historic preservation as it is. Most all our inspectors are building code inspectors, so when they come out for a project, even when you have reviewed a project during the full review and put conditions and it is approved with conditions, sometimes you will realize that some of those projects are approved because the inspector who did the inspection wasn't looking at some of the specific things that you all do. That is not part of the building code. That is a problem we have. We have struggled for many years to say, let's just hire somebody or give us somebody to train who will know what historic preservation is all about. So when they go to a historic preservation zone, they will know the kind of things that the advisory board is looking at when they make their recommendation. That is what they are inspecting for also. That has not happened. We're just still hoping that it will happen at one point. And when that point is, I don't know.
So my general advice when most people call in is to contact city offices, especially if they've gone ahead with certain things, and because they won't ever be able to get a new permit for a water heater or a new roof or anything like that without any zoning violations coming up during the review process. And so
And
it's best policy to make them do it on their own, in my humble opinion.
yeah, exactly what that is what it is. When an application comes in, we look at the property. If there's any active violation or anything pending, we make sure that that is resolved before whatever you apply for can actually be done. We have had cases that have been in the process for close to a year because the people don't want to abate the violation. And if they don't abate it, and we know it, city policy is very strict on that. You cannot issue a new permit on a property that has a pending violation.
Okay, now then, I think we're all set. Martha, do you want to make a motion?
I move we close this meeting, please.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Close enough. Meeting is adjourned at
All
1:30 p.m.
Thanks so.
Thanks for coming. Appreciate your time.
right. I have it as
Okay, bye.
1:39 p.m.
I have the
Thank
same.
you all.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you all.